picture of that dog who's listening to his master's voice. And that's the question to us, isn't it? Are we listening to our master's voice? And the second theme that comes out for me today is about that coming and that going, that looking ahead from where we are today. So do we know that there is a difference between hearing and listening? Hearing is that sort of involuntary response that we have, our physiological response to the vibration that we pick up in our ears. Whereas listening is that analysis and understanding, that psychological interpretation of the sounds we hear. And learning is a skill that we pick up over many years. It's a conscious activity that we undergo. But perhaps that's a challenge to us, that with all that's going on around us, are we hearing the noise only of the radio and the television commentators, the noise that we're reading in our newspapers? And is that noise just something that's reinforcing our preconceptions of our own view, so that we might be deaf to counterpoints? We might be following a particular theory about the origins of the virus. And we may be, as I'm sure we all are, often distracted by the endless news we get day by day. And I know how distressing some of us find this as we continually to have this daily avalanche of bad news, and the incessant records of the sad numbers who are still dying with the virus. But are we listening to what we hear? Is God's voice audible amongst the noise that we are hearing? Can we hear him? Do we think he has abandoned us, that he is not indeed speaking to us? And I wonder whether, just as a baby recognizes its mother and father through the constant hearing of the baby words that are spoken regularly to the child, that listening, that hearing becomes listening with understanding. And so we too need to learn to listen with understanding as we hear God's word, and to hear God's word, especially in that noise of the circumstances around us, and to become familiar with his word. And that may be through reading the Bible, through prayer, and through reading books that lead us and help us in our understanding of what God may be saying to us. And what a gift we have of that time now to hear God, to get away from the noise, perhaps walking in the countryside. And we're blessed, aren't we, to live in an area where we can get out and about to celebrate God's creation. We also have that gift of time to do some reading. It may be that we can find some autobiographies, whether it's of someone who has lived a missionary life, or somebody who's just been somebody who has challenged the world and speaks to us through the word written about them. It may be the time to review some popular theology. I just pulled three books off my shelves, something that might be something to challenge us, especially at this time of Easter. Some of you know Frank Morrison, Who Moved the Stone? An opportunity just to re-explore what we believe and know about the resurrection. Another popular writer of these days is N.T. Wright, or Tom Wright. And one book which I've been thoroughly enjoyed and been challenged by is Surprised by Hope, one of his quite theological tomes, but one that is actually really accessible. And then, of course, the challenge to us to pray. And one book that in our busy times that we might respond to is Bill Hybels. And he has written a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. And perhaps we might have that time now to examine how we are listening to God, how we are talking to God in our prayer life. So perhaps the message for us in these times is that we do need to respond to that voice, that we need to be carefully listening to, so that we do Let our ears hear and understand what we are saying. So how is God speaking through the pandemic? What is he saying to us about our care for our environment? Interesting reading some statistics about over these couple of months of lockdown across the world, that there has been a massive 25% reduction of carbon footprint. Is this sustainable? Is there a lesson here that we all need to hear as a world, that we can impact upon our world and the environment around us? Can we sustain that in the way that we live? In the way, as has been attributed to Gandhi, that we may live more simply, that others may simply live. We're perhaps all rediscovering a make do and mend philosophy, sustainable cooking. I'm very thankful to live in a household where Nikki kindly makes all our bread. And I know that that's a popular hobby that people are rediscovering, and the way that we conserve our resources. So I think the question to us as we begin to look out of our period of lockdown, and that we might talk about later, is what will we continue to do differently? What have we learnt about ourselves, about our practice, about our communication as a fellowship, that we will want to continue to do differently? So as God calls, there are consequences. And if we don't hear, we won't listen or understand, we won't respond, and we will wander on our own way. That image of the sheep on the hillside, and Peter writes, "For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls." Or, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and gone every one unto his own way." But Jesus, the good shepherd, wants to call us back, to call us into that fold. And we have this opportunity to get away from the noise, to get out for our regular walk and exercise, and so that we can not fail to hear God in the noise, but hear him in that sound of a gentle whisper, as is described as Elijah hears God speaking after the storm, in that sound of a gentle whisper. And God speaks to us. He spoke through his prophets and still speaks to us through them today. He speaks to us through Jesus, and he speaks to us through his word in the Bible. It's our master's voice calling to us, and we need to respond as the shepherd leads us. My second thought was about the promise that whoever enters by me will be saved, and we'll come in and go out and find pasture. As I was preparing for this, I was reminded that this was a very popular Hebrew saying, for if we were able to come in and go out unmolested, they knew that their life was secure and safe. They had no fear, their country was at peace, and law and order was established. And throughout the Bible, there is that promise that we, if we are obedient, we will be blessed at all times, whatever we do, wherever we go, as we come in and go out. But of course, we know we are restrained in these days. And how does this make us feel? We need to be honest with our emotions, perhaps, of being controlled, of our sense of our freedoms being denied. But we need to encourage each other that we're doing this for each other's good, for the good of the wider community. We may feel frustrated ourselves, but we need to look forward. And, you know, as we pray for our government, that they make decisions that do not lead us into a too hasty a revocation of the lockdown. And we need to, from where we are, the perspective we have is to continue to look ahead to that freedom we have. Just as we look ahead to that promise of salvation that we have already received from Jesus, that promise there for others. Meg might recognize this from any conversations with Doug. I picked up a little note about a naval response, especially in submarines in times of crisis, about seeking safety, security, and stability. And we can apply that to our world. of our church, that in safety we're trying to maintain some normality, to maintain, as we are this morning, this act of worship. It's a place of familiarity. However, differently, we're having to express this. We need to look out for our own and others' security. And that pastoral oversight, that looking out for one another, is a responsibility of each of us for those with whom we are able to interact. And let's not forget the simplicity of picking up a phone. We have the wonders of being able to see each other on video. We have half a dozen, and it's lovely that they've been able to join us and hear what's being said this morning. And so remember to pick up that phone and speak to somebody who is particularly feeling isolated, that sense of being cut off. Perhaps drop a note through the door. To receive a note is a lovely encouragement. And of course, that offer to do some shopping if you are able to get out and about to do so. And then this question of stability in unstable times. There is that personal stability that we can each attain in our spiritual discipline and daily discipleship. And I've already mentioned how we can explore and research and deepen our prayer life and our reading as we seek for God to touch us with his word. And also there are opportunities to broaden our contact out with the wider community, as we've been doing with the support that we've been able to do this week to through the school in reaching out those who are in particular need. And some of you may know that Psalm 121 is probably my favourite psalm. And in there we read, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore." It's that same promise that he will help us to come in, go out and find pasture. He will sustain and provide for us. And as we come into that sheepfold, that fellowship together, we have that encouragement of fellowship. And then as we go out, as we are allowed to do so, we'll be able to share our experiences to witness to God's grace and presence with us. And so from the position we are today, we can look out to that restoration of that freedom, to that phase removal, as we hear the government is likely to be able to announce in the coming week. And that freedom to go out again and be ambassadors for Christ as we go out, as the Great Commission enjoins us to do, to make disciples of all people. So Jesus as the gate can open or indeed close the way. And during this time, perhaps of reflection and thinking about the direction we're taking lives, some of us may have discovered that the direction we were following may not be the right one. And this time of reflection has enabled us to see where God may be pointing us in a different direction. And this time to go in and go out may also remind us that there are different seasons of sorrow and of rejoicing. Psalm 126 reminds us that those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. And as I'm sure we have all done this week, we've walked with the Prime Minister and his new family, a man so close to death, we learn, now celebrating the birth of Wilfrid Laurie Nicholas Johnson. And so we too give thanks for this new life in this time of sadness and grieving. And of course, sadly, some have died while giving that new life birth. So do we feel the need to go against the flow, to rebel as we sit here in our homes, feeling a little frustrated with time? Yes, it is always appropriate for Christians to stand out against the secular tide, but we need to do that within the support of the faithful, the flock of which we are part. to enjoy that support, that protection, and that mutual encouragement that we can give. To encourage each other to meet together as we are this morning, even in these difficult circumstances. So we need to help each other to feel safe, secure, and stable. And as these winds of change blow about us, are we putting up walls to protect and hide behind? Or are we going to go out from where we are today to build windmills, to capture the benefit of those winds of change, to use them, to grow from them, to benefit from them, and to learn our lessons? At another time, I would suggest we sang after this, that popular song, but we will hold it and put it to one side to sing when we are truly together. You shall go out with joy and be let forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. May that be our prayer, that we will be able to join together and celebrate in not too many weeks to come. Amen.
So let us declare our faith in God. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist?
We believe,
believe and trust in him.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature,